have been preaching in the last couple of Wednesday nights on in the book of Ruth, and I guess the four times that we've preached, we saw good news in bad times, if you remember that sermon, and then we preached one called You Cannot Run Away from Your Problems, and then we preached one on You Can't Cover Your Sins, and then the last one we preached, I guess it was last Wednesday night, A Change for the Better. And tonight we're going to preach on what happens when you find grace in the eyes of the Lord. And, of course, we're in that story, there's Ruth obviously found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that's what we're going to preach about tonight. What happens when you find grace in the eyes of the Lord? And all of us, if we're saved, we have found that. Obviously, all of us, if we're still breathing, we have found that. But in Ruth chapter 2, excuse me, verse 8. We won't take time to read it because we're going to hit it down through there. But Ruth 2, 8 through 16 is the portion that we're going to talk to about tonight. And we're going to see that Ruth did find grace in the eyes of the Lord. And, of course, she recognized it, just like she recognized that Naomi's people should be her people and Naomi's God should be her God. And we saw when she got back last week, we saw that she started reading the Scriptures and she learned that she could start gleaning from the corners. That was the law back then. And so she started recognizing that and putting into practice. And so because of that, because she recognized that Naomi's God was the right God and the true God, and she started reading the Scripture when she got back to Bethlehem and found out that she could go glean in those corners, she started putting into practice what she was learning in the Word of God. And now we're going to see that she finds grace in the eyes of the Lord. Before we get to Ruth, there are several places in the Bible, and we won't take time to read all of them or you know, go into detail, but we know if you take that phrase, find grace in the eyes of the Lord, the first one that came to my mind when I was reading this was Noah. In Genesis 6:8 said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We know that story. God was fed up with humans and mankind and was going to destroy all of them. But, the Bible says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Of course, he told him to build an ark, took his family with him. So then there was another one. Jacob, in Genesis 33:10, says Jacob found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And of course, we know Jacob, according to that, at that time, he had wrestled with God all night long and had that limp that he walked for the rest of his life. But he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Joseph found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And of course, a lot of things happened to Joseph that was negative. And a lot of people may have given up. You know, my brothers don't like me. I'm going to give up. I've been false accused and put in prison. I'm going to give up. But he didn't give up. He kept going and kept doing what God wanted him to do. And of course, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Moses found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Of course, we know him. He saw somebody hurting someone and he rose up and slew that person. And then he had to go hide and things like that. And God prepared him on the backside of the desert. And we know the story of him seeing the burning bush and being called by God. And that's in Exodus 33:12. Moses found grace in the eyes of the Lord. David found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We know, obviously, David was a man after God's own heart, did a lot of great things. God used him to slay Goliath and so forth, things like that. But then we know he made a mistake and could have given up and could have quit. But he stayed on his bed, the Bible said, with tears. And he found grace in the eyes of the Lord again. And so God continued to use him. 2 Samuel 14:22 says, Joab found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And one verse that I would like to bring out right here, the Bible says, God is no respecter of persons. So he would not let any of these individuals find grace in his eyes and not let us. So if you've made some mistakes like David, just keep praying. Keep asking God to help you. Get you back on the right track and you'll find grace in the eyes of the Lord. If somebody's lied about you and falsely accused you, and you're like, what's the use? Everybody thinks it's true or everybody thinks that I'm this way. He just kept on going and he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So we can find grace in the eyes of the Lord if we'll put into practice the Word of God and put our faith and trust in Him like Ruth did. And so we see here that God had providentially led Ruth to Boaz's field. So that morning, we talked about last night, she had read the Bible. Once she got back to Bethlehem, she had chosen Naomi's people and Naomi's God. And she started putting into practice what the Bible said. And so that morning, she goes to leave. Like she told Naomi, we saw this last week. She submitted to Naomi and said, you think it'd be okay if I go get us some corn? And then when she got there, she talked about to the people that were reaping that day, you know, the Bible says that I'm allowed to pick in the corners here. Y'all okay with that? And then, of course, then Boaz, you know, she bowed down to him. So we saw that she submitted last week after she found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So now she's going out there to do it. She's going out there to put into practice what the Bible said. And so when she got there, you know, God had led her there. There were, you know, a lot of people reaping at the same time, just like around here. If you drive up and down these roads, there's not very much corn left right now. It's all been cut, and soybeans and other crops that you'll see everywhere. So a lot of farmers, nobody, not everybody or one person owns it all. It's divided up and things like that, and there's different people bringing it in. So same thing back then. There wasn't just one cornfield for Ruth to go find. You know, okay, Bible says I can go glean, so I'm going to go to this one cornfield down the road and start picking some corn from the corners and I'll be all right. No, when she walked out that day, there was probably cornfields everywhere. And which one should I go? Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. She didn't do that. She asked God to direct her and lead her, and He did. And so she didn't know Boaz. She didn't know which fields belonged to him. She didn't know his field from the next guy's field. But she definitely did not know which that she would end up marrying him. But God did. And so that's what we've got to realize is once we find grace in the eyes of the Lord, let Him direct. Let Him guide. Don't try to figure it out on your own. Don't just say, hey, yeah, I got enough pieces of the Bible now. I'll go out and force issues and I'll go out and make ways. No, let God guide you. Let Him. Where He guides, He will provide. And we're going to see that. So number one, as far as introduction, we never know what little decisions we make, where they're going to lead. And she didn't. But she was in a mindset. God, I found You. We came back to Bethlehem. I've been reading the Scripture. I have found grace in Your eyes now. Guide my steps. You lead me to the field where I need to be. And that's the way we need to do it. Is God, if I found grace in Your eyes and I'm trying to live the Christian life that You want me to live, let me find grace in Your eyes and then direct my steps. The Bible says a good man's steps are ordered by the Lord. There's a lot of verses that talk about that. You've seen the poem, Footprints of Jesus. He will guide you. And so I got a couple of examples here. When I was a teenager, 17 years old, just got right with the Lord, been in church for a little while, and God called me to preach. And again, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know how to explain all that stuff. I hadn't been in church at all, maybe one or two times my whole life. And I was told that, hey, you need to go to Bible college. And I was like, I didn't know there was such an animal, Bible college. The only college I knew, and I'll say one, and that's the Georgia Bulldogs. All right, the other one I won't say because some of you Kentucky fans would really cuss if you knew I was a Duke Blue Devils fan. But anyway, those are the only two colleges that I ever knew about. That's how podunk redneck that I was. I watched the Bulldogs play football, and I watched the Blue Devils play basketball. That was it, and I didn't know there was a Bible college. So just like she probably didn't know that there was laws about being able to glean in the corners. But she said, okay, what do I do? And so I said, all right, that's what my pastor suggested me to do, go to Bible college. And I was like, okay, and found out that there were several of them. Just like she walked out that day. There's cornfields everywhere. Which one should I go pick out of? God help me. That's what I did. God, there's several up north. There's several out west. There's one down south. God's got to be in that. All right, I thought y'all would laugh at that. But anyway, I went south. I went to Florida. And so, little did I know that when I got to Florida, and God did that. He's the one that sent me there. He gave me the scholarship, singing, and things like that. He led me there, just like He led Ruth. And so, lo and behold, just like Ruth, we're going to see in just a minute how that she got way more than she bargained for. She thought she was just going to get a little bit of here and a little bit here and a little bit here from the corners, but she got the whole thing. I mean, the whole cornfield and the guy that came with it. And so here, lo and behold, I was like, okay, I should go to Bible college and I should study to be a preacher if that's what God wants me to do. And lo and behold, the Bible says that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. I mean, a good thing. And so I didn't know she was going to be there. God did. Ruth didn't know Boaz was going to be there. God did. And so God gave me a wife when I went off to Bible college, and it was a little bit insignificant thing. Should I go to Bible college? Yeah. How about the one in Florida? Well, they're offering me a scholarship. Yeah. And boom, there she was. Exactly who God created me for. So God can do that. So we never know these little decisions that we make, what we're going to find in the will of God. Second thing we'll never know, we never know how much having a good testimony will help. We never know how much a good testimony will help. So all these things, finding grace in the eyes of the Lord, yes, that's a good thing. Finding His direction and His provision, yeah, that's a good thing. But we ought to do our part, having a good testimony. And so, when I started to go to that Bible college, they called my pastor and said, this little, 17, 18-year-old whippersnapper, he can sing a little bit, but, how's he been? Yeah. And he didn't say, well, he's a rabble-rouser. I can't ever get him out of trouble. He never comes to church. No, he said he never misses a service. He's a soul-winning machine. He loves God. He's done a 180 and God's used me. That helped. The college said, sounds like a guy we want. And so lo and behold, Boaz obviously owns the field. And he sees her out there and he starts asking around, who is this good looking lady out here? And they, oh, that's Naomi's daughter-in-law. Man, you should hear about her. She's been better than, I think it says, 10 sons to her mother-in-law. So the testimony helps. So we see here, little decisions will help big time in finding the will of God. A testimony will help big time. I believe it says in Ruth 2:11, it says, it hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law. That's exactly what Boaz told her when they started talking. I know you, and I've heard about you. So we never know what we can experience by our testimony. It'll go a long way. So she met Boaz, and it says here, don't go to any other field. Don't just glean from the corners. You stay right here with my maidens. You glean where they're gleaning. And those young whippersnappers over there, you don't worry about them. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell them when they start getting those bundles together to drop some on purpose. And you know that water that they've got over there in those water pots? Help yourself. And so we see here, she found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Then she met the guy that owned the field and had such a testimony. And God was given the provision there so much. That's what He told her. I know the Bible says you can only glean in those corners, but I own this field. You see all these ladies working for me? You just join right in with them. And those guys over there, you know how guys are when they get around girls. They all get all and all that stuff. Don't worry about them. I'm going to go tell them that they talk to you, touch you, even speak to you, they're dead. Okay. And matter of fact, all that water they've dipped over there, help yourself. And I'm going to tell them, if you look thirsty, you better take care of her. And so we see here what's happening. So you never know. These little decisions will end up finding the will of God and the provision that He will give you. So we can enjoy that same thing of these blessings if we can just meet Christ. Obviously, Boaz was a type of Christ. So as soon as she met Boaz, all this stuff started happening. And so again, if you're running from Christ, you're not going to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. You're not going to have these provisions. But if you find Christ and you submit to Him and you obviously saved, you're on your way to heaven, God says, hey, I'm going to just pour out. The Bible says He'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and you'll have to shake it, stomp it, push it, and you won't be able to contain it all. And can you imagine what she was thinking that morning when she left? I don't even know what field to go to. There's one. And she just felt led to go over there. And lo and behold, Boaz comes out. I've heard about you and all this right here. You just help yourself. And of course, we'll see here in a little bit, it didn't stop right there. Boaz had to come back for a second look. All right? That second look's what gets you. All right? When I saw my wife, I thought, wow, she's pretty. But the second time I saw her, yeah, what I thought earlier, I was right. And I was done. You say I do, I'm done, okay? That's basically what Boaz did. He said, man, that girl is pretty. And, she got a good testimony. She's not a little stuffed shirt. She worked hard for her mother-in-law. Man, this is awesome. So we can see here, we can find grace in the eyes of the Lord, and we'll receive these blessings. We'll go through these blessings real quick. Blessing number one, what happens when we find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Number one is the blessing of guidance. The blessing of guidance. And we already talked about it in verse 8. there in chapter 2. It says, go not glean in another field, neither go from here, but abide here close. And of course, this is what we find that Ruth found. She found grace in the eyes of the Lord. She met Boaz and she was told, don't you go to another field. You stay right here. And so Ruth needed some guidance. And because there was no markers back then. There was no mailboxes. There was no street signs. There was nothing. She was a stranger in the land, but God gave her guidance. Acts 8:31 says this, the Ethiopian eunuch, obviously we know the story, he's sitting there in his chariot and he's reading a piece of scripture. And Philip was sent out there by God and he saw him and Philip went over there and said, hey, you understand what you're reading? He said, nope, how can I except some man guide me? We all need guidance. And Ruth found it because she found grace in the eyes of the Lord and she was wanting to do what God wanted her to do and God guided her to meet Boaz. So I feel sorry for anyone who does not know Jesus. First of all, because they're probably on their way to hell. Secondly, they don't have that promise of guidance. God guides. And you ask any missionary, they would say, God guided me to this mission field. You ask anybody that's in full-time Christian service, God is the one that guided me here. I gave you examples a while ago. God guiding me to Florida. God guiding me to marry my wife. He's guided me my whole ministry. He guided me here. So we see here, because we know Jesus, we can have that guidance. Secondly, I'm sorry, I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures about that. Jesus is our guide. Psalm 32:8 says this, I will guide thee with mine eye. I will guide thee with my eye. All you moms know about this. All of us guys that have moms or ladies that have moms, we know the look. Okay? We know the look. Mom can't get to us, but she can look at us. So if we're over there misbehaving, we just get that woof. And mom's giving us that look. And she's guiding us, so you put that down. You don't say that. You stop doing that right now. And she's not saying all that, but those eyeballs are woof. And, yes, ma'am. All right. Wow, we've all been guided by mom's eyes. That's what the Bible says. God will guide you with His eye. You read the Scripture. You want to do right. God's not going to hide it from you. He's going to say, this is the way. Walk ye in it, the Bible says. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, very familiar. Familiar verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Ruth practiced this. Psalm 73:24 says this, Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Obviously, God can speak to us through the Word of God, through the preaching of the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit. God will guide us with His counsel. Psalm 119:105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So we see here, God wants to guide us. The two people in this story, you start in chapter 1, we saw Elimelech. He didn't find grace in the eyes of the Lord. He didn't ask God for guidance. He just went to Moab on his own. And we saw the consequences. He died and both of his sons died. Why? Because they were doing something without God's guidance, without letting God guide them with their eye. We see in this story, chapter 2, Ruth letting God guide her. God, I want to go where Naomi came from. I want to trust you. I want to read the Bible. I want to do what the Bible says. And here he guides her. So we see, first of all, what happens when we find the grace, when we find grace in the eyes of the Lord, we receive blessing, or a blessing of guidance. Number two, we see the blessing of protection. Protection. We've already read it. Verse 2 said, you stay close. All right? In other words, Boaz said, this lady's not from around here. Somebody may take advantage of her. Somebody may hurt her. Somebody may rob of what she's picking up here. So you just stay right here close amongst my people. And that's what God says. When you get saved, you go to church. And He says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Wow, there's safety in here. There's safety in here. A while ago, we read prayer requests. I was sitting there thinking, as Brother Roger was taking the prayer requests and praying. Obviously, my family's in here. We prayed for the little Chipster the Hipster is what I call him back there, because he wasn't growing. I mean, he was a little bitty. Now look at him. He's got three chins like Pawpaw and so forth. He's growing. So praise the Lord for that. Jason and Jess just moved into a house, their own house. All right. That's two prayer requests we were praying. God provides for that. And of course, there's people in here that's had friends healed, friends raised up, things like that. situations, God answered it. He's going to protect us. So verse 8 says, stay close to my maidens. There's strength in numbers in other Christians. She was just a pilgrim passing through, like the Bible said. So the maidens would have said, you better not mess with her, Boaz, and told her to glean here. Or the maidens would say, you better not mess with her. Boaz told her to come glean here. And so there was protection in that. There's protection in fellowship. Iron sharpeneth iron, the Bible says. So we need the protection of fellowship. This church gives us protection of fellowship. Our faithful friends give us protection of fellowship. Boundaries of the Word of God. The Bible says, thou shalt not. We shouldn't do that. Why? Because there's protection in that. If we're staying inside the boundaries of the Word of God and act like a Christian ought to act, there's protection in that. You're inside the fenced-in yard, you're safe from everything that's on the outside. So we see here the blessing of protection. Verse 9, and I've already read this. It says here, I told the young man not to touch you, to stay away from you. And what did God say to Satan when he came to him? He said, have you considered my servant Job? You can do anything you want to him. You can take his family. You can take his wealth. Anything except you can't take his life. So we see here God's the one that can say that. God has given us protection. God told Satan that he couldn't mess with Job. Psalm 91:11 says this, God will give his angels charge over us to keep us in all his way. You might have heard it said as guardian angels. The way some of you drive, you go through like 16 different guardian angels to go from your house to your place of employment. All right, and your wife can testify to that. You just go through those guardian angels like this. But that's where it's found, Psalm 91:11. God will give his angels charge over us and to keep us from all his ways. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength and very present help in time of trouble. God can take care of us. So we see here what happens when we find the grace in the eyes of the Lord. We get blessings of guidance. We get blessings of protection. Thirdly, we get blessings of provision. He told her to glean in the corners. And when you run out there, just start gleaning in the fields with my maidens. And then I'm going to tell those fellows over there to just let you drop. Look at verse 15 and 16 is where that's found. He's like, as you're bundling up your bundles, I want you to shake some of it and let it drop on the ground where a roost's going to come. And so she didn't get just provision in the corners. And then with the maidens, she could follow the fellows around and where they were dropping that. Handfuls on purpose is what the Bible calls it. And she was able to pick up there. So the law said that she could reap in the corners. Boaz went beyond the law and said, I'm going to drop some on purpose. If Boaz is a type of Christ and you look at Christ and the law, just like Boaz won the law right here. All right, the law says you can reap in the corners. I'm the owner of the field. Reap wherever you want to. If you look at Jesus, when Jesus is saying, the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. What I say is, don't even hate your brother. All right, so he wins up the law. And so that's what Boaz was doing. He said, glean, here's some water, here's some protection. And then over in verse 14, he said, and matter of fact, at the end of the day, when everything's done, in verse 14, he just said, just come over to the house, and you can sit at my table, and you can eat some of that too. So God supplied all that she needed according to his riches and glory, the Bible says, in Philippians 4:19. Matthew 6 tells us that God can take and take care of the lilies of the field and the birds of the sky. How much more can he take care of us? He can do that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God can provide. So what happens when we find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Blessings of guidance. Blessings of protection. Blessings of provision. Next one, blessing of encouragement. Blessings of encouragement. So she went out that day wondering what was going on and just saw God putting one thing after the other in place. And I can testify that my going to Bible college, finding my wife, ending up here, it's just God putting the things in and providing for it. And that is encouraging to know that God loves you and God will take care of you and God will provide for you. That's encouragement. Verse 13, look what it says. Thou hast confronted me, and because thou hast spoken friendly unto me. So not only was she getting all that she needed food-wise, she's hanging around those other maidens and she's not even from that country. And the guys aren't messing with her. Why? Because the boss, Boaz, said, hey, Let's just take care of her. That was encouragement. And then not only did he do all that, when he came up to her in verse 13, he spoke kindly. Again, that's what I try to tell us. We're commanded in the Bible to witness to people, but we don't have to be mean about it. You listen to me right here. If you don't do what that's going to say, you're going to die and go to hell. That might be a little mean. All right? I've heard preachers say that from here, but you ought not say that at their door. That's their house. All right? Go up there and just say, hey, Jesus loves you. We can talk about the Word of God and how much God loves people and do it kindly. We don't have to be jerks. I'm trying to keep that wet so it's not so scratchy. Sorry about that. We don't have to be jerks about it. And she was like comforted and encouraged because he was just so nice. So the world turns, for their encouragement, the world turns to a bottle, alcohol or pills. They turn to a needle. They turn to worldly pleasures. That's what the devil wants them to turn to. And you know what? They'll never find the encouragement. They'll have one and they have a little temporary appeasement, but it's coming back. It's kind of like the alcoholic. He went and got drunk because he was 3 weeks behind on his house payment. When he sobered up a week later, now he's 4 weeks behind on his house payment. It didn't fix it. Right? It just made him forget about it for a little while. So what the world offers as encouragement is going to be a temporary escape from the problem. And when you come back around, the problem's going to be right there. You let God give it to you like she found out. It was all taken care of. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. And so again, when we read the Scriptures, we hear God preached about and talked about. That's encouraging to each other. And we ought to do that. Next, we see guidance, protection, provision, encouragement. And the last one here, the blessing of fellowship. The blessing of fellowship. Again, when a kid, younger kid, walks into maybe a Sunday school classroom for the first time, they're like looking, ugh, I don't know anybody here, oh my goodness. And somebody goes, hey, come sit by me. Whew, okay, I'm good. All right, and adults still have that. You know, you might have anxiety of things, all right, but that fellowship, that blessing of fellowship, she's there with the other maidens. And there may have been some jerk maidens there that day. You're not from around here, are you? All right? And teased her, things like that. But there were some that said, hey, if Boaz said stay here, come help me fill my basket. We'll work together. Two fellas in the same ship is what some people call fellowship. Some people say two fellas in the same ship head in the same direction. That's what they call fellowship. But what you put it all together, two fellas in the same ship heading in the same direction, enjoying the journey. That's what real fellowship is. Because you could have two guys heading in the same direction, but if they're mad at each other, they're not enjoying the journey. All right, looking the other way. I'm going to paddle because I have to, but I don't like you. But if it's two fellows in the same ship heading in the same direction, enjoying the journey, that's what fellowship is. So again, you come to church and you sit down in your pew, look over at somebody, give them the ups, what's up nod, a little smile. All right, let them jerk. Don't look over like, what are you sitting on my pew for? You make me mad. You didn't save me a seat. Remember, you took my parking spot. We say, hey, how are you doing? Enjoy it. So she was on the at his table in verse 14, eating his bread, and then he brought out the special stuff. If you look at verse 14, I don't know how good this would be, dipping bread and vinegar. Maybe their vinegar tastes better than our vinegar. But anyway, the only thing I like in vinegar is cucumbers. But anyway, not bread. But she's here dipping this vinegar. So man, she's went from the corners to the whole field to sitting at his table to the special stuff comes out, and she's enjoying the fellowship. So she was physically nourished and she was spiritually welcome and felt apart. So if you're lost and separated from Christ, but then you're saved and you're at the table and there's other people there having the same response as you did. In verse 15, it says here, she felt like she belonged. She felt like she was at the right place. And so, we ought not treat people like foreigners, or we ought not treat people like poor widows, and we ought not treat people like, oh, you're a Moabitess. She wasn't getting all that. She felt at home at that table. She was accepted. Ephesians 1:6 says this, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which in He is made us accepted in the Beloved. So when we're saved, we're part of the family of God. We're accepted. So not only was she accepted, she felt satisfied. She ate and her stomach was full. And so she had forgotten the past. She wasn't thinking about Moab. She wasn't thinking about her losing her husband. Right? She was right here satisfied. She passed all that. Was like Paul said, I have put the things in my past behind me. I'm pressing toward the mark. So she had been accepted, and she was being treated like she belonged, not like a stranger. And then we see, we're going to see her future was full of hope. Her present needs were being met. And so the people of this world can claim that they are satisfied, but they're not really satisfied. The only satisfaction is in the Lord. John 4:13 and 14 says this, Jesus answered and said unto him, or her, whosoever drinketh of this water, talking about himself, shall thirst, or I'm sorry, talking about in that well, will thirst again. Verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of this water shall never thirst again. So if we meet Jesus like she met Boaz, we'll be satisfied. We'll never thirst again. So we see here what happens when you find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Blessings, 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 blessings. Amen. So let's all stand and we'll have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Appreciate you being here this evening. And sorry about my scratchy voice. Amen. And they're sick too. They're probably sicker than I am, but they didn't sound sick while ago when they were singing. Maybe I should have just sang that whole sermon to you and I wouldn't have been scratchy. Amen. All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, thank you for this truth in the Bible. Lord, I just ask you to help us, Lord, to live like we should so we can find grace in your eyes. And then you'll guide us into all those blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.